Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Welcome to Breaking Through.
Breaking Through.
Turn up the volume for a powerful hour of radio.
I turn it on and I leave it on.
If you want something different,
you have to do something different.
Fun for everybody to enjoy. And
join Georgianne each Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern as she shines the light on dynamic and fascinating individuals.
I just think it's great.
And now, everything you always wanted to know, but were afraid to ask. Get ready for a breakthrough with your host, Georgianne.
Today is Tuesday, June 29th, 2010, and I want to welcome everyone back to Breaking Through. And I've been looking forward and excited about tonight because it's been a year. Do you know, almost to the date, my next guest was one of my original guest from when I started on Blog Talk Radio. So I'm really excited to have her back so she can feel the difference of what's happened with the show in the last year. But I want to welcome Amara. Amara, are you with us?
I am with you, Georgianne. Thanks for having me. It's great to be back.
Well, we had a great show last year, but, you know, I thought, you know, I want my show to build up a little bit more before having you back. And boy, excuse me for wishing so much because we've already got a line of people waiting for you. So, but
be careful what you wish for.
Exactly. Yeah,
well,
I was hoping to get some things moving along for you. So I wanted to get you a really nice audience because I want everyone to know about you.
Well, thank you. And I just love talking to people out there randomly. It's always so fun for me, and I just really appreciate the connections, the interest. And right now, during these very tumultuous, chaotic, uncertain, volatile times, can we use any more adjectives like that?
Yeah, we need to.
People really are more than ever. I mean, I've been doing this professionally for 20 years now, and then I've been, you know, doing work like this for businesses, for 30 years, and I've never seen it this chaotic and people this scared and uncertain. And that's not a good place to be, so anything we can do to help guide them through that and help them not be so fear-based will help them individually as they navigate through this.
Well, exactly. And, you know, I want to give everyone a little bit of heads up of how I found you. You know, I read about you long ago, but I've had my first interaction with you it's been 5 years?
Wow.
Is that a first talk to you? I know. We're almost old friends here, Amara. I found you originally in the book, The 100 Top Psychics in America. And that, I think, was put out in 1997. And little mm-hmm. did I know, and I learned so much about you in that book, that just for everyone to know, was put out by Simon & Schuster. And since then, I learned about you that you were in U.S. News & World Report. And I think on your website, you can click on some links where they can see the actual article that was written about you. But
yes,
you've been around
can.
A little bit.
Mm-hmm. They can click on the links to the article. They can click on the link to your show to hear us talking together. I've been blessed to have been recognized by various avenues in the media, print and radio and TV. And so I'm very grateful for that. I'm unusual with my gifts in the metaphysical and the, quote, new age, unquote, field in that, as you know, I have an MBA from Northwestern University, the renowned Kellogg Graduate School of Management, and I used to run major divisions of corporate American blue chip companies. So I'm a little more detail-oriented and specific than the average person who works in my field and pragmatic. So I like to blend the pragmatic with the spiritual. It's my belief that it is just as important to descend spirit into the body as it is to ascend spirit, you know, from the earth. And bringing the two together in balance is important. And so I work with people that need that help and are open-minded, even if they're in a traditional field or career or industry, as well as people that are all pretty far out there in their belief system, which is what makes it interesting for me.
Now, there isn't anything that you're inclined to read just about everything, but because of your background in business, I mean, of course, that's something you can definitely connect with. And that's how I found you 5 years ago, was that I was really looking for someone who was attuned to into business. But there, just to let everyone know, too, that if you're interested in obtaining a reading with Amara, I want to give it a list of your websites. You can get iloveladyuniverse.com. That is so great. I love that. I think that's a fantastic way to remember how to find you. Ladyuniverse.com, but it's also thewisdomlight.com, or they could go to toppsychic.com. Any of those websites will lead you straight to Amara. And we're going to be, if you don't mind, Amara, we're going to take a few calls scattered throughout the evening. I want to get, because I'm too spoiled that I want to know more about what's going to be happening in our world. I may be spoiled, and I know everyone wants to know about themselves. But just for the listeners that know, when it's your turn to get a reading, one question, just one question. And so if you ask something, it's not to lead into another one, unfortunately, because we have several people that are waiting. And I'm spoiled, but it's my show, and I want to talk about our world events. So that's what we're going to do. But sporadically, in between calls, we're gonna let Amara answer some of your questions so you can see why I ask her back over and over again on my show. So with that said, let's talk a little bit before we start taking any calls for you, Amara. What is going on? I mean, what is happening in this world that we're living in at the moment? I mean, given we know everybody's talking about 2012, but this is, I mean, what do you have to say about this 2012 thing?
You got a couple hours? I actually did was featured as a speaker and had a panel about that in November at a large conference. And actually, I'm pretty frustrated by it. Once again, I'm seeing the orientation of and capitalization on doom and gloom and fear and boding and, you know, movies and of disaster, and it's very disheartening to me to see that. Certainly we are in and have been for the last 25 years in an awakening period, a quickening period, or some would call it the dog waking up and shaking the fleas off her back period. You can push and you can push and you can live out of balance and out of harmony and in destruction with each other and the planet for only so long before Mother Earth, as a gentle beast, would stand up and say, it's time to shake the fleas off my back. And that's what began happening about 25 years ago, an acceleration of that pace, an awakening of people who recognize, you know, this isn't working for us. It's not working for us individually. It's not working for us socially or collectively. Look at the wars. Look at the economies. Look at the volatility. Look at our children. You know, they're not getting smarter and more secure in the next generation. They're getting less healthy. They're getting more narcissistic. It's very, 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 you know, a big transitional point. So energetically, things coming together as they tend to do, it's a time to shatter old paradigms, to let us know, since we didn't do it voluntarily and gently, that things need to change, our paradigms need to shift, balance between the masculine, patriarchal dominance way of doing things for the last 2,000 years needs to shift more into harmony and balance with both the masculine and the feminine side of things, the pragmatic and the intuitive. The logical and the more spiritual, and we are coming to the end of a cycle, not the end of the world. Please, we're coming to an end of a cycle, and as the Mayans and the Mesoamericans showed, 2012 is an ending of a cycle. But the ancient Egyptians, according to them, were in the descent to hell until about 2159. So,
people that you talk to may believe that we're in hell at the moment. So,
right. Well, if you look at the Egyptian timeline, we are in a period that I'm not being facetious or joking. It literally is called the descent to hell.
Right.
And we have been in that period since about 2000 years ago. And we go through it until about 2159 before we start coming out of it. So 2012 isn't an ending. It is a juncture that has gotten much press and publicity and commercialization. I don't feel that it is the end of the world. I'm actually more concerned about 2011 and the period between 2011 and 2015.
And
I feel that if we can't, pardon? Sure.
I was going to ask you to elaborate on that.
Economically, and with these changes occurring, with the paradigm shifting, you know, forces for good and forces of evil get activated. They get expanded. They get magnified. People individually are challenged to do the right thing versus the wrong thing. When we live in economic chaos, there are those who are who rise to the challenge, and their character shows by them being creative and successful and helping others, as well as being creative and successful, or taking responsibility, whether they've always done it or whether they never have, being given a chance to do the right thing. And then there are others who chaos and volatility or uncertainty brings out the worst. They cheat, they lie, they steal, they get sneaky. I just heard of another experience today where a person in an industry supposed to be a spiritual industry has been caught doing unethical things. Their suppliers will no longer deal with them. So now they're setting up straw companies under other names to try to get those suppliers to deal with them without knowing that's who they're dealing with. So you get almost a polarization and an exaggeration of the good and, shall we say, the negative, you know, if we must use that word. And so as a result, you get a lot more friction and a lot more events that occur that seem to jeopardize the peace, the harmony, the stabilization. But in actuality, it's a way to wake everybody up. It's a way to say, which side are you going to be on, the light or the dark? Which way are you going to go? Are you going to rise to the challenge, or are you going to sink to the lowest common denominator? And we in America are particularly facing that. America has a destiny as a beacon of light in the world, without whom most of the world would not have the freedom, the democracy, or the quasi-democracies, the markets. Sure, there's a lot of things to improve about America, but as an example in democracy and individual rights and freedoms and women having rights and the underprivileged being able to rise to be president of the United States or to be the wealthiest, you know, high technology guru in the world or talk show host around the country, we have more opportunities than many, and we are supposed to be an example for that. And much of that is in jeopardy right now, with individual rights being lost in the face of people living in fear and chaos who go into survival mode and they don't think of the big picture. So we're at a crossroads where these things are all coming together. And you are going, you being an individual in the collective, are going to be asked, are going to be challenged to, quote, do the right thing, to live your truth, to stand up for what you believe is right, to not out of fear that, well, I'm so busy taking care of myself, I can't think of the bigger picture, because you are the bigger picture, if that makes sense.
Oh, absolutely.
And the bigger picture is a reflection of all the individuals. So that's where we are. With this crossroads, astrologers would tell you there's a lot of astrological configurations. You know, if you line up all the ancient indigenous time frames, they all kind of line up here. But we're at a crossroads, and the question is, which way are you going? Which path? Are you going to elevate yourselves, or are you going to descend into further chaos until you get it and then rebuild?
So in actuality, everyone has a choice. I mean, it's still a free will society.
Absolutely.
So,
absolutely.
You have that.
But you lose that free will when you go into fear and you live in survival mode, because what happens is you make decisions based on that fear that prevent you from thinking bigger, thinking optimistically, thinking of the greater whole rather than just your immediate survival. You allow politicians or governments to take over, get bigger, get more power, because, quote, they're going to take care of you. And you feel insecure that you can't take care of yourself. So you give away your power to those who would control you.
Exactly. Now, it's one of these times where you're going to have to either stand up or and take responsibility for yourself or not.
Yes. And taking responsibility is a big issue because we've gone into a point of time where we have become a society of entitlement. We expect the other person to take care of us. We think we are owed many things. We've raised generation of children that I recently saw a documentary that said that they tested, I think it was 18 to 29-year-olds, and that one-third of the 18 to 29-year-olds, this was about a year ago, could be clinically diagnosed as narcissistic, clinically narcissistic.
I am.
Now, that's pretty scary to think. If that's a pretty – it was a pretty good sample, too. If one-third of the next generation is clinically narcissistic, I mean, where are we going? We're not going in the right direction.
Not surprised. But, you know, how'd they get that way?
Right, exactly.
They were
and
taught.
That is what – so that's what's happening. We can look at it as an opportunity, as I said, to shake the fleas off our back and feel clean and renewed and refreshed and break the old paradigms and think outside the box and be more flexible individually in terms of how do we perceive earning a living, how do we perceive financial success, how do we perceive just the word success, and moving away from some of the ways in the 90s and in the 80s and in the 70s that we got to. And realizing that that doesn't work and we have to bring ourselves back into balance.
Exactly.
And so for people as individuals and your listeners, and this is something that actually I had predicted, and I was asked to be on another radio show in L.A. in 1989, and I was asked to give my prognostications for the 1990s. And I said then, and it holds true now, and it has actually come true, I said, what you will see is that people will, there will be less and less of the, quote, traditional cookie-cutter jobs of people growing up to say, I'm going to be X, Y, or Z, that there will be more individualization. People will have to create their own jobs, create their own niche. They will take talents, interests, education, and experience, and they will synthesize it into something unique that nobody else does but them, and they will find a niche in which to market that or in which to earn a living. And you've seen a lot of that happen in the 90s, but in the 2000s, you've seen that happen out of necessity, where people lost jobs that are never coming back.
But, you know, I saw that as quite a positive as well, because they can be more true to themselves. They can take
I absolutely agree. And that's what I'm saying is the positive side. This is an opportunity for people to not live as automatons, but to really say, gee, out of necessity, I have to be more creative. I have the incentive to be creative. If before I was afraid to be, now I have to be. And in the long run, I am more true to myself. I'm enjoying what I'm doing. I'm doing something unique. I have a unique point of view to bring to the world. It's less of a dog-eat-dog competition than it is complementary-type coexistence. And so I think that's a very positive thing. People getting in balance with the true definition of success will help them also get into a healthier way of living from a lifestyle standpoint, as opposed to going into debt to keep up with the Joneses, to feeling that the world owes me and then I'll welch on that debt. It has repercussions on a positive level all the way around, not just spiritually and karmically, but financially and economically.
And
with the children that we raise.
Yes, exactly. We'll take a few calls in a moment because they're going to start throwing, you know, snowballs and everything at me if I don't do something soon. But I was going to also ask you about, before we take a call, I was going to say that wouldn't it be helpful if everyone did more to get in tune and more intuitive and to really meditate and really discover what it is in their heart and in their soul that they really want to be doing? Wouldn't that, if they say to themselves, oh, my God, I don't know if I can do what I really love or make a living at it, wouldn't it be helpful for them to try to get in tune with themselves?
You know, so much of the unrest in our world, it comes from people that aren't in tune with themselves, that are living in insecurity and fear and lack of confidence. They're not living their truth. And if you trace back individual violence or dissatisfaction or unhappiness or depression or failure, if you extrapolate that to global, to countries, to country leaders, to global situations and conflicts, it all goes back to the same thing, that out of insecurity or out of fear of who they are truly and being able to live that truth, we create all sorts of negative events, boundaries, feelings of lack or fear of lack. So absolutely. And that also congruently is part of bringing the feminine to balance with the masculine, because all those things you mention, Georgianne, are the feminine skills, whether you're a man or a woman. It's right brain, feminine, intuitive, nonlinear, which we got away from about 2,000 years ago when we went to the printed word, the extrapolated alphabet, and we went into logical, rational thinking, and anything that was feminine was considered second class or less than. So in doing internal review and being in touch with your gut instinct or your intuition, whatever you want to call it, and sitting quietly and centering yourself in the chaos of the day, and hearing that inner voice or that higher self, you find peace within yourself. And in finding peace within yourself, you create harmony around you. And then that ripple, that harmony ripples with everything. So not only are you a more positive force, but then you attract harmony, and attracting harmony, you attract prosperity. You attract abundance.
I agree. And, you know, even
so
if
you're absolutely right.
Years ago, it's never too late, right? We can start today.
No. And, you know, everything goes in cycles. You know, we as humans like to do things in extremes. You know, we get something, we think it's great, and we want to go overboard.
Exactly. Well, we're going to take a few calls, Amara, and then we're going to get back to this. It's not like it was last year. We have a lot of people who would love to connect with you. So we're going to take a few calls, and then we'll go back to what we were talking
sure,
about.
Sure, I'm ready.
Okay, we have area code 902. Are you with us?
Hi, good evening. How are you ladies tonight?
Great. How
Fine.
Are you?
Who is this?
This is Anastasia.
Hi, Anastasia. I love that name.
Thank you.
Do you have a question for me? Oh, I'm sorry, Georgianne. Did you want to say something to her?
You go right ahead. You're a natural speaker.
I'm going to say, in terms of my career, are you getting any spiritual messages for me regarding it?
Anastasia. And where do you live, Anastasia?
I am in Nova Scotia, Canada.
Okay, because I'm getting East Coast.
Mm-hmm.
Very East.
Yeah, exactly. You know, right now things seem a little tough. I feel like you're a little challenged right now financially. I feel like you've been working really hard. You're a strong woman. You're tough. You are pretty well grounded. I feel like things are a little out of your control right now. I feel like you need to take control in order to almost gain a direction and to decide the outcome rather than wait for the outcome to occur. Does that make sense to you?
Yes.
Yeah. Actually, because you are so strong and well-grounded, I would like you to rely a little bit more on your intuition, your gut instinct, and follow it rather than hesitate, because I think sometimes you're a good thinker, but I think sometimes you overanalyze or over-rationalize, and then you second-guess yourself.
Okay.
And I think that's clouding your ability to be more successful in your career. Does that make sense?
Yes. I'm going to cooperate.
Pardon?
I said, are my children going to cooperate with it?
Oh, well. Your children. You know, I think you can. I think you can be a great example to them. I think that, you know, these changes that have occurred in your personal life lately can be brought together almost in a sense of like a negotiated contract with the kids. But I think you can be an example for opening their minds and opening their ideas to a new perspective, and take them on an adventure and a journey that they may be kicking and screaming about initially, but that in the end, I think they're going to come to a sense of understanding and agreement with you.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Great. Thanks, Anastasia, for calling.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Well, that was wonderful. So what she has to look at is just getting everyone gathered together and corralled to see her way. Yeah, because you were talking
about... Well, she's kind of like the beacon. You know, Anastasia is kind of like the beacon in her family. And I think she knows the direction. She gets hits in the right directions to go. I think she gets talked out of them or overanalyzes them, as I mentioned. And I think she has an opportunity to be that beacon of light, that spiritual beacon of light to her family to say, you know, I can't rationally justify why this is right. In the end, this is what I feel is right, and I'm asking you to trust me. I'm asking you to have faith. And faith comes from the feminine side. It is, you know, believing in something without having any logic or rationale to do so. Logic is the masculine side. We as a society don't honor the feminine, don't tend to have faith. You know, it's as if we all live in Missouri, the show me state. You know, I want to see it to believe it. So she has an opportunity to be this spiritual leader in a family where she says, you know, I know this is the right thing to do, and watch me. Watch me do it. Watch me do it well and see what a great thing it is for all of you. And in that, they learn to take risks themselves. They learn to jump off the cliff when they need to, when they know it's right, when they know they'll be given wings to fly. It is difficult, especially when you're dealing with other people, but you can do it without force and without stubbornness, and you can do it by example.
Great. Okay, and we have another caller, area code 310. Are you with us?
Yes, hello.
Hi.
Hi.
My old stomping ground.
Yeah.
I used to live in 310.
There you go.
Who is this?
This is Ellen.
Hi, Ellen.
Hi, how are you?
Okay. All right. Do you have a comment about what we've been talking about tonight?
I'm just enjoying it very much. Very
well,
much
good.
So. And I really like your take on 2012. I am so tired of the Chicken Little syndrome.
Oh,
and
please.
I do see
yes.
it as an awakening and an adjustment and just consciousness evolving. And, yeah, I'm really happy to hear a positive spin on that.
Thank you. Well, good. Good. I'm glad you feel that way too. You're in a very dynamic area. It's a very creative area. I was sad to see the industry, as we used to call it there, you know, using the doom and gloom, but that's to be expected. But there's you know, in an area where you're surrounded by so many creative souls, there's so much opportunity for change and optimism, you know. So certainly to have someone like you understand that is real important. Did you have a question for me?
I do. I wanted to know if you saw Brian and myself in a long-term committed relationship soon.
Brian and Ellen. Ellen and Brian. And does Brian live with you nearby? He feels somewhat close.
No, actually. He's in Washington State.
Washington State. Okay. Brian and Ellen. Brian and Ellen. Okay. Well, he cares very deeply for you. So I feel like there's a lot of opportunity in this relationship. I think he is close in your heart, or he feels close to your heart, or you close to his. I feel like you need to trust your gut on this one. I think there's a lot of opportunity to move forward in this relationship and open doors of development and furthering the relationship. I feel like this man has a lot of different sides to him, that he is and can be very versatile. Conversely, that means he can also feel like he's giving out mixed messages. But the prognosis for your relationship with him, it is good, but there seems to be another relationship that's hindering it.
Hmm.
And it feels to me like you need to make a choice.
Oh. Huh.
So it feels like you need to kind of see it in and of itself, unto itself, as opposed to comparing it to anything else.
Okay.
And you need to see it of the present as opposed to reflecting anything of your past that would influence you in your behavior in this relationship.
Hmm. Okay.
So I would like to see it approached as best you can. Here's a good affirmation for both you and Brian. And I use this a lot for my clients. It came to me many, many, many years ago, and it just seems to be very appropriate. My experience is my protection, not my destiny.
Okay.
And I would like you to use that affirmation a lot as you consider this relationship, think about moving forward in this or any other relationship. There's a lot of opportunities that lie with Brian, but they've yet to take hold or show themselves how they can tactically manifest.
Okay.
So I'd like you to keep an open mind to it.
Okay.
Does that answer your question, Ellen?
Yeah.
Good. Because I'm thinking, oh, my God, I hope she's not tuning in on me and my feelings about men, but we'll get to that another time.
No, I'm just kind of confused about someone around that I'm hindering with someone else around me, because I'm so very much alone.
But it feels to me like a scar.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, see? Yeah, I'm trying. When people ask intimate questions about intimate relationships on the radio, I have to be very careful what I say.
Well,
it's out there forever.
And out there, so.
We don't want to be a little too public, but it's a scar. And okay. and you have to decide to kind of leap over that scar. It's not going to go away. It's part of who you are, but you need to move beyond it without it being, without it affecting any or present or any relationships you move into.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for calling in, Ellen.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks, Ellen. Have a great, go dip your toes in the ocean for me, please.
I will. Have a great night. Thank you.
You too.
Bye.
Oh, I was thinking, my God, that's probably for me as well. I probably needed to hear that because I do the same thing. I take the residual of what happens in the past and I attribute it to the present, and that's not fair.
Well, you know, and so we're human. You know, we tend to be an agglomeration of all of our experiences. And what I try to do is tell people, don't try to forget your experiences. You can. It's who you are. But you want to integrate them in such a way that they truly do become your protection, not your destiny.
Exactly.
So that you know to recognize the sign. You feel confident that you know to recognize the signs when they come at you, the red flags, and you don't barrel past them anyway out of desperation or fear that there isn't something better out there for you. You say, been there, done that, seen these red flags, sorry, I'm not going through that door. And you feel confident in that so that you, when you do meet someone with whom there are no red flags, you don't create imaginary ones and sabotage.
Exactly. No, I agree.
And you know, when someone, like Ellen was saying, when someone is asking me an intimate question like that on the phone, I kind of get a little nervous answering too much detail because I don't want to embarrass anybody or get too intimate on the phone.
Yeah, because these shows can be replayed, so they're on for years and years and years. So it's not like typical radio where you never hear them again. People hear them anytime they want to replay it.
Right. You know, and maybe the other person's listening, or maybe even you, as you're listening, going, oh, my God, I didn't want her to reveal that secret about me, you know, and that's the answer to why something may be going on. So I have to be careful. I was once doing a guest spot on a radio show in Denver, and I saw the host moving to New York and becoming a famous talk show host in New York. And He on the air, he said, what do you see happening for my career? And I'm like, oh, my God, I don't want to answer this on the air. I said, do your bosses know? You know, and so I basically tried to keep it general, saying, well, I see changes coming. I see an opportunity coming from you from the East Coast and the major market at the East Coast, and I see your name being a lot bigger. And he's like, oh, yeah, I got to tell my bosses they better, you know. So we got offline when the show was over. And he said, oh, my God, I can't believe you said what you did. And I said, well, I was trying to be vague because I see something more specific. Are you in negotiations with somebody? And he said, yes, I am. And actually, a year later, he became a very big talk show host in New York. Well, not a year later, but he moved within 2 months of that. And then it was about a year before his name was kind of household. But it's like, okay, do you really want your bosses to know what I'm getting?
Well, I guess they have to be open to it if they know that they're getting a psychic on the air.
Well, yeah, he's like, don't ask me these questions, guys. Do you realize your bosses are listening to this?
Yeah, they're there. Just for anyone listening to know that if you want are interested in a reading with Amara, I've known her for 5 years. I've read with her several times, and I'm sure I'll be reading with her again. But you can go to her website, which is thewisdomlight.com, or if you think it's easier to remember, toppsychic.com, or if it's easier to remember, ladyuniverse.com, it'll take you to the same place, which I like all three of them, by the way.
Thank you.
I think
you.
They're all kind of catchy.
Well, Lady Universe was a nickname that one of my clients gave me, and I thought, well, gee, that's a great domain. I like that. I like the sound of that.
It is.
Yeah. You know, one of the things I wanted to mention with the consultations is that I don't have a program or agenda that you have to follow. I'm not one of those folks that says this is the way I work and this is the only way I work and this is the only way you can get any of my services. I try to be very flexible according to the situation, the needs, and the objectives of each person. So there's no set consultation time and that you have to work with. And typically an initial consultation that's very thorough is an hour and a half. The client determines the time, not I. But if you want to do a sample reading for 20 minutes, I'm not offended, go for it. If you have something you think you can consolidate into a half hour, that's what your budget allows, that's great too. And for many people, given my business background and what we talk about, business, career, investments, real estate, I am tax deductible.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah. So there's a lot of flexibility and there's a lot of diversity there according to whatever it is that you need. And I like the variety. It makes it fun for me.
Oh, good. And we've got still have about got several calls to go, but we'll just
okay, let's go for it.
And then we'll try to get back to what we were talking about earlier because I want to give everyone something to look forward to as far as the world and what we're living in and what to expect. So right now we have, let's see, a private caller, so I don't know your area code. Are you with us? If you
Hello?
Have a, yep, there you are. Hi, how
hey,
are you?
Hey, Georgianne, how are you?
Oh, good, how are you?
I'm doing great. I thought I would just call and see what she could just tell me in general, if anybody had a message in spirit or whatnot.
Who is this? This is there's a grandmother around you. Who is this?
This is Gabrielle.
Hi, Gabrielle. And where
Hi.
Are you located?
North Carolina.
North Carolina. Gabrielle in North Carolina. I see a grandmother around you. I don't know if it's your biological grandmother, but I see a grandmother around you. And let me explain what I mean by that. It could be a biological grandmother, someone that's passed that you're close to. But the minute you said, or I think you said something about if somebody has any messages for me, instantly
mm-hmm.
I got this vision of this grandmother-type woman, a wise woman, who stands beside you on your left and a little behind you. And she seems to be an important guiding spirit. She seems to love you very much from the heart. And she seems to have kind of a real sense of vested interest in you doing well in life. You also seem to be in a very, very actually good opportunistic time right now. For you, this is a time of creating positive harvest, of receiving abundance, of being able to negotiate and meet, have a meeting of the minds with others. It's a great time to negotiate a settlement, to make a commitment personally. So you're actually in a great space for taking advantage of bettering your life and feeling very blessed and peaceful. I would urge you to take advantage of that. I would urge you to focus yourself on anything at all that you have outstanding that would demand any kind of legal settlement, business contract, or personal commitment.
Okay. Well, I was going to ask you about career, but that kind of sums that up, huh?
Yeah. Do you have a specific choice to make in your career right now?
Not really. I just need to get off my bed and just push forward. I'm
yeah.
really bad to procrastinate, and I have several projects working and going, and I just need to really, you know, finish the projects. I've got a book that I've really been struggling with, and I need to finish that. Do you see me finishing that this year?
Okay, I want you to think of the book in your head. Normally I ask people for the working title, but I don't want to do that on the air. Just think of the book in your head. All right, what I'm getting from you is obviously you need to finish the book, but I'm more concerned that you're looking at it as finishing your projects, and I'm like two steps ahead going, no, they need to be finished and marketed. You need to be out and about making contracts with people. You need to be signing deals with people. And that's kind of the theme of what I had said a few minutes ago, contracts, mm-hmm. commitments, deals, agreements. So you need to go a lot faster than you're going. You need to really put that fire under your derriere to not just finish the projects by the end of the year, but to be finished with them and marketing them and getting representation and getting contracts by the end of the year.
All right. Sounds like
this is your time to do it.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Good luck to you.
All right. Thank you. Bye, Georgia.
Thanks, Ariel. Bye, Ariel. Thanks.
Bye.
It sounds like she's got a lot of positive things coming if she'll take them.
She has to get out and make them happen. She's in a fantastic period for contracts and negotiations and agreements. So if she stays home and just works creatively, she's going to actually miss her boat. She needs to finish producing and actually go out marketing, negotiating, signing contracts right now, or she's going to miss that opportunity.
I'm sure she doesn't want to miss that.
No.
Well, let's take a couple more, and then we're going to finish the end of the show. We're giving you the stage here, and we'll talk about everything that we were planning to talk about. We have a couple more, though. Okay, area code 951, are you with us?
Hi, yes. Thanks for taking my call. My name is Natasha.
Hi, Natasha.
Hey, Natasha. Thanks for calling.
No problem. I wanted to see if you can tell me if you see any changes coming up for me.
Natasha. And what city are you living in, Natasha?
I am in Riverside, California.
Natasha in Riverside. You know, I get to tell you to be very careful about making changes right now. I feel like some kind of legal or bureaucratic issue around you that needs to be resolved, and that you need to be cautious about making changes until that is settled.
Okay.
Pardon?
I said okay.
All right. And I feel that that's actually a good thing. We don't want you jumping the gun, okay? And the changes almost come out of this whole energy around you, this whole event, and I feel that it's positive for you. I feel like you have everything you need to make things go the way you want to go, but don't jump the gun and start moving too fast. So you and Gabrielle need to get together. I don't want you to move too fast. I want you to kind of stay still for a moment, let everything take its course, and then make some decisions. In her case, I want her to move a lot faster than she's moving. So the two of you can get together and balance each other out. But it's a very opportune time for you to kind of sit, not make rash or not judge too quickly, let yourself observe how it all falls out, and then make your decisions. And that's the best way for you to handle it. You're getting ready to have more control, but you don't have the control and the information you need right now to make the best decisions. Does that make sense?
Okay. Yes, it does. Yes.
Well,
okay.
That's wonderful. And you know what? Mara can probably get a lot more in depth. If you decide you want to talk to her further, you can go to her website, thewisdomlight.com, and if it's up to you, like she said, if you only want a few minutes or if you want a full length, she can help you discern, you know, what that is. Isn't that right, Ramara?
Okay.
Absolutely. I'd be honored to do so.
Okay. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you, Natasha.
Bye-bye. Well, yeah, you know, I guess people are getting a little apprehensive with this kind of energy. They're not sure if, you know, sometimes it's better, they feel, I'm sure, to stay still and stay put because that's what they know than to move forward because it's what they don't know.
Right. You know, we have a tendency to, well, it's the old saying. It's why it's an old saying, the devil we know versus the devil we don't know. And it doesn't have to be a devil. I wrote an article once called The Other Shoe is a Golden Slipper. You know, people are always waiting for the other shoe to drop. And I proposed, well, what if the other shoe is a golden slipper? You know, all of a sudden it changes the whole way you're looking at what might happen that you don't know about. Wow, what if it is a golden slipper? So suddenly we begin to make decisions differently that create a self-fulfilling prophecy that the other shoe does become a golden slipper.
Yes, exactly. And you mentioned on your website as well about doing readings and that you make sure to give everyone the idea and the understanding that everything that happens in their life is by their choice.
You know, there's a real fine line between free will and destiny, and I like to use the analogy of a game of cards. Free will is the hand you're dealt. Destiny is the hand you're dealt. Free will is what you do with it.
Exactly.
So certainly there are things that happen in our lives that feel like they're beyond our control. But what we do with them, how we rise to the occasion, how we respond to them, how we handle them, the choices we make, that's our free will. And that's what I believe we're here to do. You know, you will be given blessings. You will be given challenges. You will be given things that you might consider curses in your life. But the difference between those who live in peace and harmony and evolve forward spiritually versus those who continue to build layer upon layer of karma is how you respond to the challenges, how you respond to the events, the occurrences, the hand you're dealt, and what you do with it.
And, you know, a dear friend of mine who's also a regular on the show is astrologer Susan Miller, and her book talks about planets and possibilities. Just because something is showing in your planet in a certain house, it doesn't mean it has to be that way. It's a possibility. So
I so love that. I so love that. That's my philosophy on astrology. And if Susan ever saw my chart, she'd just go, oh, you poor thing, which is what most astrologers do when they look at my chart. That is absolutely right. I see astrology as the weather, you know, and you can choose to go sailing in, you know, a storm or in balmy seas, but in either case, you have the information that you need to prepare yourself, to dress appropriately, to take the right boat, to take the right crew, to go the right course. I believe you're here to transcend your astrological chart, not live it out in fatalistic kind of despair.
So would it be fair to say there, I don't want to take words out of your mouth, but would it be fair to say that this is where you're headed, but it doesn't necessarily mean this is where you end up. It depends on what you're going to do with this information, isn't it correct?
Yeah, you know, this is the hand you've been dealt. These are the characteristics, the energies at play. These are the challenges. These are the gifts. These are the stresses. These are the opportunities. What are you going to do with it? Are you going to evolve by transcending those challenges so that you don't have to deal with them again?
Exactly. Okay, we have a couple more calls that are waiting for you, Amara, and let's
okay.
Area code 215, are you with us?
Sweet. Hi, Georgianne. It's
Hi.
Anthony. How
Hi,
are you?
Hi, Anthony. It's Amara.
Hi, Anthony.
Hi, Amara. How are you?
Okay.
I'm
how are you doing? It's great to have a guy call in.
And he's a great guy to call, too.
Oh, well, thanks. Yeah, tell them all. Because I'm still waiting.
He's a great guy.
Yeah, Amara, you can call me anytime.
Okay, I'll remember that.
Yeah. I have a question. I'm going on a trip next week to learn a new healing technique. I'm a tad skeptical because of the prices, and I explained to them that the money's not there right now. They're telling me not to worry about it. Mm-hmm. It's going to all work out. Be positive. Boom, boom, boom.
Okay.
I'm wondering, what do you see going on with this trip?
I think you're going to move on from what it is that you go there to do. I don't think it's going to take hold in your life for very long.
Wow.
Well,
but
neither do I, really. It did resonate with me.
So the real question, Anthony, the real question is, then why are you going? It doesn't
right.
resonate with you. You're suspicious. They're not being specific about what your financial liability or obligation is going to be, and you're not feeling it. And especially when it comes to working with a complementary or an alternative or an energetic modality, if you don't feel it, if it doesn't call to you, it's not your modality.
Well, at first it did call, and the preliminary things I went through felt right, felt good, and then I went ahead and made the trip. I made it on my own. I didn't do it with the group. I have my own room, my own flight. That's taken care of. It's just now the next 9 days. Actually, it's going to be 7 for me because I said, okay, I'll be 2 days late. If this is supposed to happen, it'll happen. They're telling me, don't worry about it. It's going to happen. We're going to make it work. What they don't seem to understand is I have enough for the first part.
Right.
And that's really it. Other than that, we're either that or I don't eat the rest of the week.
I can't advise you. I'm sorry, I can't advise you to take this trip. It just feels like it's fraught with issues. I think many people listening to us would say, you don't have to be psychic to tell that by listening to them.
I think
that even me being intuitive, what I see coming from it is that you've made this kind of partial commitment. You've tried to get some kind of agreement that I can do this, even though I can only do it partially. I think it's going to fall apart in the end. I don't think it's going to give you what you want. I don't see you feeling any kind of symbiosis with the group. So I see you continually feeling apart from the group, even when you're there. And that's not going to help in terms of what you're there to do.
No, but I am. Go ahead.
I would choose to allocate my resources to something you felt really confident about and that you knew you could participate in as a whole as opposed to in part. And that we weren't going in with what I see is delays, unexpected surprises, and disruption.
Not much of a vacation. Because, see, I see it as a vacation.
Well, if you want to look at it now, see, but that's not the question you asked me. If you want to look at it as I'm going there for a vacation, and anything I get in addition to that is gravy, and I'm not under any obligation to these people financially, that's okay. But in terms of a trip to learn a modality with which you resonate and to possibly be obligated to have some more money to pay for, I cannot recommend it.
No, it's not happening. I kind of tried to explain that to them, that it was not happening. Now, other things around this, I'm going down there for other reasons that I may or may not know about. Do you see anything there? I mean, I thought about actually looking into holistic healing down there.
To start a career. I see you going down there, possibly looking at embarking on a new job, a new career, and exploring that area from that standpoint. I don't see anything negative with that region for you, no. So as a region for you, living or working there, it definitely has possibilities, yes. So that's a reason to go down there. But I wouldn't obligate myself to this other thing in order to do it. You could take the trip anytime.
Kind of how I see it, and almost hoping I run into the twin flame down there or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I see that desire in you, and I see that hope. You know, romantically, in that area of the country, there are possibilities for you, first with money and career and then with love. So it seems that the one follows the other.
Oh, okay. I was going the other way around.
I know. I see it. Okay, he's leading with the romance, and then he's thinking this, and then he's thinking, well, I can get a job and justify staying there for the romance. I see that, but I don't see it working in that order.
Okay.
It sounds like a win-win anyway, doesn't it, Amara?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it's still not bad. I mean, you know.
So go down there. Don't invest in this completely. I don't want to say the name of it. I don't know if that'd be a good idea. Don't invest into it completely. Talk to them maybe the first couple of days. I don't know. Should I just blow it off completely?
Well, I think I'm going to chip in here, but it sounds like as long as he's comfortable with it, he can continue, right? But if it feels uncomfortable, that's where he should stop, maybe.
I think he already feels uncomfortable.
Yeah, at first it was
and
very comfortable, and then they started getting pushy.
A possible financial obligation that he's uncertain of. So
yes.
It has to be very clear in writing that you are not obligated any further than you've already committed to.
Mm-hmm. which was that really nothing. I mean, just me getting my own room down there, kind of. They were trying to get me into their group and come into the group. And, well, maybe we could change the flight, or maybe we can do this, maybe we can do that. I'm like, whoa, whoa, everything's set. You know, this is how I'm going to do it. And if it doesn't work, it doesn't work. And
well,
I got
know,
a few calls
if
from
it
them.
If it doesn't work out, then that's what you'll know the opening is. But if it feels uncomfortable, I'm not trying to read for you, Omar, but it just sounds to me like maybe being, you know, the discomfort would continue. It wouldn't go away, would it? You think, Amara?
No, I agree with you. And I think that when you're trying to do something and you keep hitting yourself against a brick wall, that's a message in and of itself. When things are, when you're supposed to do something, usually it flows pretty smoothly and easily, and the way opens up for you as an affirmation from the universe that you're on the right path, we're supporting you, go for it. When you really have to force something to happen and you're beating your head against a brick wall to make it happen or to get yourself accommodated or to accommodate something else, you're usually not listening to true spirit and you're usually kind of rationalizing what you're doing and it's not the right decision.
You would not believe the things that were happening to me when I decided I was going. Flat tires that shouldn't have went flat, batteries going dead that should not have gone bad. And then I decided, no, I'm not going to go. Everything's fine. I bring it out to get checked. These things should not have happened. No reason that tire should have been flat. No reason that battery should have went dead. And I just said, well, these have got to be signs.
Yeah, I think you've got your answer, Anthony.
Okay, I do. Thank you very much.
Thank you. You're
welcome.
Dan,
always a pleasure.
I'm glad you're not wasting any money. See, we're helping you not waste money.
I appreciate that. It's fantastic.
In these times, it's important not to waste money.
I'm still going to go, but I'm not going to join that group.
There you go.
Have to
there's so many other things to do around there.
Well, send Georgiana a postcard.
Oh, I will.
All right. Take
care,
bye, Anthony.
Girls.
Well, God, it sounds like we just need to listen to the messages we're getting.
You know, it's so easy for us to over-rationalize, to force the issue. We want something to work. We want it desperately to work. We want it to be the answer. And if it's not the answer, that's when we start getting into trouble, when we start forcing it.
Well, Amara, you know, let's hear a little about you. What are you planning to do? We're at the tail end of the show here. Do you have any plans, or are you going to be speaking anywhere anytime soon, or somewhere? Can you let us know how we can find you if you might
sure.
be in someone's area?
Well, I just got finished my usual June travels to California to see my clients in person, so I'm just finishing up some stuff and some public speaking events. So I'm here in Colorado for the summer, and I am delighted to work with people over the phone all over the world. That's mostly what I do. Even the people that live here in Colorado, sometimes I see them in person. Sometimes people fly in from out of state to see me. But most of the time I work with people over the phone, and I'm blessed to have the ability to do that. So I'm very grateful, and I'm delighted to work with people around the globe that way. And I will have a second-degree Reiki class. We haven't talked about that, but I'm a traditional Usui Reiki master of 13 years, and I teach around the country and any place else that I need to be. And I'll have a second-degree Reiki class coming up in September. But right now, the summer is a time for me to kind of get caught up once I finish my trips, which I've done, and work with you guys out there. So
well,
I'm happy to do so. People can get in touch with me by calling me at 303-575-1100. I am in the Denver Mountain time zone, and I'm happy to schedule anything that you need at your convenience.
And you were mentioning that you're going to California rather frequently, so in case someone is in California, what area do you visit?
I usually am in the San Francisco Bay Area, Sonoma County, Marin County, Santa Clara County, Silicon Valley, the East Bay, and San Francisco itself twice a year in June and October.
So this coming October, if someone wants to meet you in person and have a consultation
right.
with you in person, they can get on a list or let you know.
Mm-hmm. And we also we are looking at adding a short trip to Arizona. It's been coming up more and more that I need to get back down there. It's been a long time since I've been down there working with people in person, and I keep getting messages from spirit that needs to happen. So that's what, but this summer is a little quieter than the last two. I think 2 years ago I told you about the trip to Italy where I was teaching and working with folks and we were opening vortices and things like that. This summer is a little quiet, and I get the sense it's going to be helping people get prepared and readied and established for the next couple of years and getting everything in order and getting everything as flexible and taking advantage of is what opportunities are before each person right now. So they can be in the right position, in the right place, at the right time to ride the waves the next 24 months.
And, you know, unlike last year when you came on the show, you were the fourth person to do the show with me on Blog Talk Radio. And you can tell the difference this year. We had a lot of people that we couldn't even answer questions or get to because it's gotten so much busier. So we're
well,
going to have
well, wonderful, Georgianne, and that speaks to you and your hosting ability and your fun liveliness. It's always a pleasure to speak with you. It's always so
always
easy to speak
too.
With you.
It's always you too. I mean, you're someone that I enjoy speaking to. So I think we may have to do a show in the near future because I really wanted to talk more about this. I just didn't think that we would have, you know, backlog of people calling to talk to you, but I think we may have to do a show where we don't have listeners, or we don't have callers, and we'll just let you have the microphone here. And just
or we can ask our callers to call in with broader questions rather than personal questions about the theme that we decide to discuss, whether it is about the economy, the upcoming political situation, planning for it, you know, because the questions that people ask in that realm are often applicable to many people. So I'm happy to do that as well, where the callers can still participate, but you all can call in about questions at large about navigating these times. There's certainly not going to be any dearth of topics to discuss over the next 6 months to a year as things progress.
So, and what you were saying earlier was, you know, just keep thinking positively, keep doing positively. That's what matters right now is being true to yourself and being the light that we need to have.
Focus on the objective. Trust your gut, your spirit in the moment to lead you to be in the right place at the right time and concurrently take responsibility for making it happen. It's not just going to come to you by focusing on the objective. You have to be willing to move forward yourself. But you do those things in tandem, in combination, and you'll create your own safety vortex. You'll create your own opportunities, and all will be in absolute perfection for you according to the reality of creating a golden age. This is about recognizing you have the ability to create your own reality regardless of the circumstances around you, and you will see more and more people in the chaos living the best life they've ever had, the most secure life they've ever had, the most peaceful, loving life they've ever had. And you will
That's optimistic.
Live... Yes. Yeah.
Very optimistic. So you need more than
the opportunities there.
You need more than a vision board. Looking at a vision board, you have to actually act and do it.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And I think that's what people make the mistake of believing is that law of attraction, for example, isn't just thinking about it, dreaming about it, daydreaming about it. It's actually doing.
Oh, you touched on a whole topic for me of metafizzlers and mental New Agers.
I love that metafizzler.
It's a phrase I've been using, and you know I see so many people with the vision boards, and I'll just think positive while they don't actually do anything. And there we're totally out of balance with the doing and the being, the intuiting and the logic, the taking responsibility when balance with the universe providing. And it's silly to think that you can just sit there and wait for the universe to hand you everything. What you're likely to be handed is a roof on your head. So a house on your head. You know, you need to take responsibility and action according to how you're guided or how your true heart feels or what your skills and talents are. You know, the old saying, my talents are God's gifts to me. What I do with them is my gift back to God.
I love that. Yeah, I could get a soapbox big enough for both of us. I could. We could get on a soapbox about it. A double soapbox and talk about
how
you got to
could.
It's all about doing. It's not just about thinking.
Right. It's the combination of the balance, of the intuiting with the doing, the receiving with, you know, the doing. It's, you know, you can, I don't know if I we talked about this in our first interview, but, you know, if contractors are good and builders are good and they're important, but if you have a contractor without the creativity of an architect and the design aspect, you have a bunch of shoeboxes littering the world from end to end, and globe to, you know, one side of the globe to the other. An architect, and these are gross generalizations, so architects and contractors, please don't call me and say, I'm a creative contractor or I'm a pragmatic architect. If you have an architect who is designing pie-in-the-sky ideas without pragmatism, you've got a bunch of pie-in-the-sky ideas that can never be implemented. You need both, you know, in order to have not just the optimum for you personally, but the optimum for the community and the world at large.
No, we do need, we need each other. We need very astute people and what they're good at, so they can help create this this dynasty that you want called your dream. You know, it, you have to have other people too.
What I would like to say though is, if you know, if I don't know if we've got a minute or not, but
This is being recorded, so anyone who listens back is going to hear all of this.
Okay,
so you can keep going.
In preparation for what's going on, or in reaction to what's going on right now, I'd like the audience to think about being as self-sufficient as possible. Pay down the debts as best you can. Don't be dependent upon anybody pulling the rug out from under you because you owe them, whether it's a credit card company or a bank. Put your priorities not on investing in a scheme or investing in the stock market, but put your priorities right now on paying down your debt and getting as stable and secure and as self-sufficient as you can. So when those things have their moments of volatility that last longer than a moment, you're not going to have your world turned upside down by them.
Exactly. But let me ask you something while we're on the air too, because I keep feeling that it's in the interest of everybody, including our environment, including whether it's myself or not, but I have on this thing about the environment. I really love stock that is geared to the environment. Do you think that mm-hmm. is a positive, or do you think that maybe I'm just dreaming?
Well, no, absolutely. I mean, I think that the environment is an important element in our economy, in what we're doing to the world, how we're living, how we're it's reflective of how we respect each other. You know, how we treat the animals, how we treat our environment, where we live. You know, animals don't defecate in their own sleeping bed. You know, humans do. You know, animals don't destroy their food source. Humans do, in greed. So how we treat this environment is reflective of our state of evolution and how we're treating each other, and they all go hand in hand.
Exactly, because I just had a guest on.
At the same time, I see a lot of people capitalizing and commercializing this word green and ripping people off with it, or mandating by government changes that are not any – they're no greener than the traditional method when you look at the energy it takes to make that green item, or when you look at the fact that by mandating that green item, we no longer produce that item in the U.S. We're now – they now 100% come out of another country, and now we're importing it and we've lost jobs. You know, there has to be a sense of a true integrity in the changes we're making, not just here's the next big thing for us to capitalize on.
Well, and you know, for myself, I just a few weeks ago just had a representative, the CEO of Origin Oil, for example, and I was really impressed with how they're teaching or they're implementing how to turn algae into oil, which I thought was ingenious.
Right. And that's a technology that's been around for a long time, which frustrates me that it isn't more widely known and more readily developed because it's been around for a long time, and it is a real opportunity for us. There are so many opportunities for us to be living, all of us, with a smaller footprint, but in a way that is truly a real change and a positive change, and not just a transfer of, well, we're going to get green, but we're going to still use your backyard to be dirty. So I agree with you. There are so many opportunities out there, and the environment for me is reflective of who we are as humans and where we've come and what we're doing and if we're walking our talk. And the natives, you know, have a philosophy in this country that when you make a decision, you make a decision considering 7 generations forward.
Wow.
You know, we don't do that. We don't do that in business, and we don't do that as a society. And the world doesn't do that at large. But if you start making decisions of how will this affect 7 generations ahead, boy, it really changes the decisions you make.
Mm-hmm.
And your definition of profitable, your definition of success changes.
Well, and it can't just be about chasing money, you think, Amara? I mean, it's got to be more than that. It's got to be about making a difference more than that.
Well, and that's what we're seeing.
Money always follows, doesn't it?
Well, that's what we're seeing, and that's what I think a lot of the last 25 years have been about, is, you know, misplaced values, chasing ideas and false gods, if you will, to the point of sullying honored governmental offices and institutions and individual freedoms and industries, and, you know, there being no trust for those offices, industries, governments, institutions, relationships, you know, gee, if it's easy, I'm walking out. Oh, my gosh, it's a little bit hard. Oh, well, too bad, so sad, I'm leaving. That's a lot of what I think is why we are experiencing this accelerated, dramatic forcing of change, making it so obvious that what we're doing doesn't work, that people are almost forced to say I'm taking a side or I'm changing the way I'm doing things. The health of our bodies, you know, is finally taking its toll as a result of 50 years of ingesting pseudo-foods and chemicals. And now parents are finally waking up, and the mainstream media is finally waking up to trying to educate Americans and others how to eat healthfully and eat with consciousness of the environment, because it's killing us. It's killing our children. So we're being forced to do the right thing.
So if I didn't know better, I would say that you kind of like this change.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, I how could you not?
Right.
I mean, individually, I can be like everybody else and say, gosh, you know, this is really tough. This is a tough time. You know, I have a lot of clients that are hurting. I have the clients that are hurting and the clients that don't call me often enough. The clients that call me when something happens or before something happens are thriving, making thousands of dollars in gold because they got out of stocks when I told them to, or thriving in their real estate business. Others who are afraid to hear what they might need to do or change, or think, I'm just going to ignore this. This is just a little sign. I'll ignore it. And then another thing comes, and I'll ignore it. And then they call me, and it's all in the tank. You know, it's too late. So I, just like the next person, sure, it makes me nervous. I have a child to raise. It's very difficult in these times. But on the other hand, I believe the light always wins in the end.
Right.
And therefore, we might go through a dark night, but in the end, eventually we will come out of it, and hopefully we will be better for it.
Right. So this is our learning experience.
Yep.
And that's not so bad.
To be very grammatically correct, yep, absolutely.
Yeah.
It is our opportunity. It is our opportunity, and it's our opportunity to change it for our children and our grandchildren and ourselves. Do we want to protect our freedom and our individual freedom and continue to be a beacon and to continue to have a beautiful world that we can share with others? Or do we want to dig our holes out of chaos and fear into the dark?
Yeah, and just be a little more selfless and just to understand that it's something bigger than us, that it's not just about us, it's not just about our monetary, you know, gains. It's about the children. It's about everyone. And
selfishness
planet
is the
that
root
was
of all evil.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. This planet was gifted to us, and I think we're trashing it, personally.
Well, and I think we're here to learn not to do that, to learn to overcome the human emotions that put us into fear and greed and trashing others and lack. Oh, it's a limited pie, and therefore I have to get my big piece, because if I don't, somebody else will. We have to stop looking at it that way. And we have to understand that this is a learning opportunity for our souls, and your soul doesn't end just because you die physically. I don't believe that it does. And it didn't begin just because you were born and conceived on this planet in this lifetime. It's a continuum, and what you learn on that continuum, I think, determines where the world goes and where we go individually and as a group. I believe that selfishness is the root of all evil, because that's what starts the lack and the fear and the greed. That's what causes people not to be responsible, to lie and to cheat, to not do the right thing, to not live up to their promises.
Yeah, to lose a vision of the bigger picture.
Mm-hmm.
So again, I'm going to make sure everyone knows how to find you, Amara. You're at thewisdomlight.com, or if they choose, they can call you to schedule a consultation. So whatever time frame they have in mind or you have in mind with them, or you come up with some kind of an agreement on that, your phone number is, I think it's 303-575-1100. Is that correct?
You've got it.
That's okay, good.
Correct.
I want to make sure that everyone has an opportunity. I've been reading with her for 5 years, and I've never get tired of it yet, and I'll probably call you back for a consultation too. But absolutely, I've enjoyed having you, and I think we have to, now that we see what kind of audience we're getting, I think we're going to need to schedule something to where we can just talk about these events that are upcoming, solidly about them, and because I know you have so much to share, and you've been speaking about it in your engagements that you've been presenting, and I would love it if you would do it for us too.
Well, thank you so much. I'd be delighted, and I love taking calls from people, especially when they're asking these big questions that other people can benefit from as well.
Exactly.
So, yes, we'll do it again.
Okay. Thank you so much, Amara, and we'll see everyone again next week. Good night.
Thank you, Georgianne.
Bye-bye.